grateful to be able to preach always, but especially today, where I'm placed on the brink of celebrating the 30th anniversary of my ordination as a priest of the church. And so if I take a few liberties today in my preaching, offering this as much a prayer as a sermon, practicing a little Christian forbearance for one of your church elders. In the spring of 2009, my wife Ruth and I went on pilgrimage to St. George's College in Jerusalem and spent 2 weeks in a field course called the Palestine of Jesus. It had been a lifelong dream for us to be able to, at least in our marriage, to be able to do this, and the time was right for us then. On one of the days, we made a field trip to Nazareth, where Mary and Joseph had lived at the time of Mary's unexpected pregnancy. Our gospel passage today tells of the archangel Gabriel's unsettling message to the Virgin Mary that she would conceive by the Holy Spirit a son who will be named Jesus, who will be known as the Son of God. And we hear of Mary's consent to this with the response, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." So, en route to Nazareth, the then dean of St. George's College, Dr. Stephen Mead, helped prepare us for this excursion into the mystery of the Annunciation and all of our modern rational wrestling with this notion of virgin birth by saying, remember that the doctrine of virgin birth is about theology and not is theological and not gynecological. So I hope that his quip that the virgin birth is about theology and not biology is helpful to those of us who find this a potential stumbling block to your faith. For some of us, the notion of a literal, miraculous virgin birth is not an issue. For you, blessed are you, God is perfectly capable of doing what God wills to do. But for our sisters and brothers who find it implausible and struggle with it, go along with the story and its theologically symbolic and spiritual meaning, even if you can't give assent to the literal meaning. As you will see, there's much we can do with this. In a way similar, I've noticed a change in our language over the past decades regarding pregnancy, a change I hasten to add that I really like. It used to be that a couple would announce, "She's pregnant." Now a loving couple is more likely to say, "We're pregnant." Obviously, both are not literally, biologically carrying the unborn child within. And yet there's a truth beyond the physical level that this points to about the relationship giving birth to a new child. But let me now draw your attention to the site of the Annunciation by Gabriel to Mary. As is typical in the Holy Lands, there are two sites, not one, in Nazareth that claim to be the actual location where Gabriel brought his message to Mary. The Greek Orthodox Church of the Annunciation, also known as St. Gabriel's Church or Mary's Well Church, is by a spring, where one ancient tradition has it that Mary was met by Gabriel as she was drawing water from the stream. This church was built in Crusader times in the 12th century, destroyed a century later, and then rebuilt during the Ottoman Empire in 1750. Visiting there, you can get a cup of water from the fountain of that holy well. The other site is built on a cave that Catholic tradition claimed Mary lived when Gabriel visited her. The first church was built on the cave site around the year 427 AD in the Byzantine era. In its long history, several churches were built and destroyed and rebuilt on that site. The Franciscans, who settled in Nazareth during the Ottoman Empire in the 17th century, began overseeing the church and cave at that time and continue to do so to this day. The present magnificent Basilica of the Annunciation was built and established in 1969. Pilgrims can descend to the cave, which is within the church, for a brief time of prayer and meditation. One of the striking features of the Basilica of the Annunciation is several dozen mosaics within and on the grounds of the church from many nations that depicts the Holy Family in their own region's cultural clothing and appearance. So the Holy Family is mirrored by many cultures and nations and races. That's one of the profound meanings of this mysterious God that comes to us and becomes one of us through the Holy Spirit and Mary's ascent. We all need a holy child and Savior, a divine human being that embraces and blesses our rich diversity of human cultures and looks like us. Let it be with me according to your word, says Mary. Within the bafflement and embarrassment and even potentially life-threatening danger, the scandal of God wanting to be so intimately close to humans, there is something both innocent and courageous about Mary's faithful consent to the angel Gabriel. She's made room for God's desire, for the wisdom of the divine. Whether in meeting Gabriel at the wellspring, she gives consent to give birth to the living water, or in the darkness of the cave, she says yes to the deep mystery of God's purposes to be born in her. She will become the God-bearer, and Jesus will be born into this world. But my friends, you must know that on one level, this story of God seeking intimacy with Mary to birth a divine child is a type of symbol or archetypal mythic pattern for what is also possible in our own lives, and a deep spiritual truth for us all. The scandal of the Christian good news is that we, too, are constantly being sought out by God, the God that is the creator of the whole vast cosmos, and that God seeks intimacy with each of us. Not because we're particularly virginal or pure, although it's a good thing to ask for purification, which, by the way, we just did a few minutes ago when we prayed, "Purify our conscience, Almighty God, by your daily visitation, that your Son, Jesus Christ, at his coming, may find in us a mansion prepared for himself." But the degree of our purity or lack thereof is not the real condition for God to come to us. It is because God chooses to be vulnerable to us and desires to create new things with and in and through us, meeting us as we are. Let it be with me according to your word, says Mary. Can we let this word of God, this creative and life-giving Spirit of Christ, be with us too? Holy Mystery, we are your servants. Let it be with me, with us, according to your word. Let your desires for us and for the world be received within us. Let it be in us according to your word. There's an ancient prayer practice that we've often spoken of here at All Souls. It's called Lectio Divina, which is translated from the Latin as Holy Reading. In this practice, we open ourselves to encountering the inner divine presence through prayerful and meditational reading of scripture or spiritual writings. In the process of reading in this way, encountering the living and active word amidst the words, we can find ourselves wrestling and making love with God, being exposed to the light of God's intentions and desires, recognizing our vulnerabilities and resistances and shortcomings, but also having ourselves strengthened and given the imagination to see new possibilities and potential for actions and depth of purpose in our lives. The ancient holy desert hermits, those Abbas and Amas of old, thought of the word as something like a seed that could be planted in our hearts, and through prayer and meditation with it, it would grow and transform us. We become pregnant with the creative word and bear it into our lives and the world around us. Similarly, in this and every Eucharist that we participate in, each of you who says yes and chooses to do so receives the sacrament of Christ's body and blood and the communion of the holy bread and wine. There is the old saying, you are what you eat. So we take this presence into our bodies, and we are to become what we eat. We become sacraments of Christ present in our world. We are to let the presence of Christ within us, personally and together, transform us into the renewed presence of Christ in the world. We are God-bearers. Oh God, we are your servants in this world. Let it be in us according to your word. And let it be, oh God, through me, through all of us, according to your word. As we struggle with the darkness in this present era, with the powers and principalities to distort our ways of living, and divide us due to fear and suspicion and entrenched systems of domination, with the racial inequalities and tragic, needless deaths, with the tortures committed in our name, with or without our consent, with the continuing disease of our toxic pollution of your good earth. May we all receive your grace and guidance and power, O God, that through us what should be challenged is overturned, and healing and reconciliation and new relationships may be brought to birth. O God, we need to be with you. We need you to be with us. We need you to open our hearts and minds afresh. Give us fertile imaginations and a bold and creative spirit to serve you. And through your spirit within us, we desire to express you to the world that you love and act with your power and grace. As in the darkness of a cave or in the moist and black fallow earth, from within the mysterious depths of our collective unconscious, send out your creative spark of illumination and plant your seed of new creation. Let it be through us that your word is born anew, let the fullness of time come when all of us, in our rich complexity and diversity and variety, human and non-human alike on this planet, and Earth itself, all of which you desire to embrace, become the embodied sacrament of Christ come again. Let it be with us according to your word. Let it be in us according to your word. Let it be through us according to